Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart.
Host Merle Exit. Well, happens I just got finished watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie. And, it's been many years since it's been on, and all the little kids have grown up, and including our wonderful Nellie Olson, or as she is, Alistair Ongren. I'm sorry. Well, we're going to talk with her because she's doing her own stuff now. She's got a lot of trivia on Little House, and we're going to learn a lot. So let's put her on right now. Hello, Allison.
Well, hello. How are you? Yes, I get we're all grown up. Good Lord have mercy. We're all middle-aged. The children in the show are all in their 50s.
You know, I've watched the show all over the years. I probably know just about every episode. But the one I had seen today was when I think the first time that that Carrie talked.
Oh dear! Carrie's best dialogue.
And I looked, I said, wow, there was a whole episode devoted to, oh, she can talk.
Right? I always said it's hysterical, you know, because in France, the show is dubbed, and so in France, baby Carrie can talk. I had to fly 11 hours to find out what she was saying.
Oh, that's funny. So let me just go to this. I did some research. Now, let me see if I'm right. You were 12 years old when you first started?
A Little House on the Prairie, yes. I've been working since I was 5, but indeed, yes, Little House is 12.
Oh, no, I'm saying on Little House, you were 12, right?
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay. And I had heard that you were very close friends with Melissa Gilbert, who at the time was, let's see, 8?
Like, just turning 10. She's about 9. We're about 2 years apart, yeah. And
okay.
She did the pilot. She's a little tiny thing. And we became great friends, but we still are. We're, like, you know, still harassing each other on Instagram and Twitter. She's in New York, but we text and make sure everybody's okay. And it's like an extended family, the cast of Little House. I'm still talking to Miss Beadle and El Manzo, and baby Carrie doesn't live far from me. It's kind of crazy.
That's really cool. I also had gotten that there were that 10 times that you've gotten what you deserved.
Oh, at least.
And my question is that I want to know, did they have a stunt double, or did you and Laura really fight in the water?
Well, you know, which one, the mud fight? Because, I mean, we had stunt women for certain things. For instance, I cannot ride a horse to save my life. So if you saw me on a horse, that's not me. So we had that. And when I went down the hill in the wheelchair, it was both. I started in the wheelchair. Then this very, very brave, very professional stunt woman did that shot down the hill where she went flying out of the chair and did a midair backflip. I draw the line at somersaults in midair.
Yeah.
But then they took me to another hill that was longer, less steep, but longer, and just shoved me down that so they could get more footage of me screaming, which I definitely did because there were no seatbelts, no safety equipment. but the mud fight's all up. They let us choreograph our own fights. When they saw how well Melissa and I choreographed our fight scenes, they said, well, they're the best ones to do it. And so by the mud fight, they just said, well, you guys know what to do. Try not to kill each other. Have a go. And off we went.
And did you – so the question is when they showed the scenes that you were in the I guess the stream or the lake or whatever and fighting or any time you got pushed into the lake, were you actually getting wet?
Oh, God, yeah. Let's see. The first time when I was in a pond, they had a stunt girl do a fall, and then it was me. And then when they saw I could do it, they just used me from then on. I was always in the water. And the river – they were going to have us go down a waterfall, but they tried it with models, with dummies, and the heads came off. They said, maybe that's not safe. But no, Melissa and I were in that river all day, and it was not safe. It was a very dangerous river. People drowned there all the time. It was craziness.
Oh, God. Hope you got paid well.
Right? We should have gotten extra. We did not get extra. We did, however,
get extra. Yeah, that's right.
Right, we
yes,
got Stuntman Association patches. We became honorary stuntmen. I do have Stuntman Association patches because we did our own stunt.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
yeah, that's right.
Right.
You're supposed to get extra pay if it rains or you have to go on the water.
You do your own stunts. We did stuff that was amazing on that show. We had stunt people for the really, really super dangerous stuff for horsepower, but the amount of stunt work that Melissa Gilbert and I did ourselves, I don't know how we survived.
Wow. I thought it was humorous to see how many times there was fighting in between you, and she pushed you down and.
And they were always trying to drown me. It seemed that whenever Nellie did get her come up, it involved water. They were trying to drown me on that show, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Now, and the other thing, just so I get clear. Now, your character was there. I mean, she got married, mm-hmm. you had the twins,
yes.
and then you guys left. And the next time, I think,
right.
the next time we saw you was when there was an episode with Nancy. Did you return?
Yes.
And Nancy. Nancy's the bitch.
Yes. Right. The return of Nellie, because I was on the show for 7 years, married and had twins. And then I left. And then, amazingly, they called me back to come do an episode in season 9. And that really almost never happens in Hollywood. You leave a show and they say, would you like to come back for an episode? Never happens. But we did it. Golly, that was the one with Nancy where I got to face off my evil, evil, evil little sister.
Right. This whole show. This, by the way, I don't know whether you know that this the episodes are on like just about every day. Did you know that right
the
now?
The show is on in 140 countries several times a day. It's on Cozy TV. It's on a bunch of Hallmark. And it's also streaming on Amazon as well as the DVDs and the Blu-rays. There are actually physically more people watching it now than when it was on in primetime.
Wow. That's really funny. And yet, I have to tell you, when I've been talking to people who, somebody, let's say, 40-ish or whatever, and I would say, oh, do you know who Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie? I said, do you ever watch Little House on the Prairie? They go, no, I think that was over
you
before.
You know, my
I was
largest age group, the people who come to my shows are in their 20s and 30s.
Isn't that funny?
When I do it, yeah, I get the biggest group I get. Now, I have the women who are in my age group. They're like late 40s, pushing 50, like a little younger than me, and they grew up watching it. But those are the people watching Zon. Then we have the rerun generation, people who watched it in the 1980s, after school and before school. We have that whole group. Then we have like the DVD generation who are raised on it. We got young kids now watching it on YouTube and Amazon. It's completely crazy. But it's really weird. If you go on Facebook right now, there's literally a couple hundred Little House in the Prairie fan groups with thousands of members each, many of them in Argentina, Japan, France, all over the world. They're particularly obsessed in Japan, Argentina, and France, which is why I was spending so much time in France. I'm supposed to be there now, actually. It's only because of the pandemic. I'm not on my tour in France right now. And it's amazing, the age range. We have the people, you know, the folks you know our age who grew up watching it in the 70s, but then there's this whole group in their 30s and 40s, and then there's a bunch of people in their 20s. And I'm like, how in the heck? And they're like, oh, no, my parents had the DVDs. There's people who've just started, this is the weirdest group, the people who just started watching it now, there's these Little House fan pages, and these people are saying, well, wait, I didn't see part two. What happens in this episode? And someone will tell them, and they'll say, no, spoiler alert. And I said, spoiler alert, it was on 45 years ago. What are you talking about? But they just started watching it now. They act like it's a new show. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Why do you think people are even interested now?
Well,
of all shows.
When I ask people like in who come from Sri Lanka, and Borneo, and Bangladesh, and Iraq. I go, what in the world? You watch Little House growing up. I mean, it's a bunch of Americans in covered wagons. What does this even mean in Sri Lanka? And they said, oh, no, we never missed it. They said, the problems of the English, these are problems we can relate to. These are real problems. This is how most people live, the emotion of the show. These are much more like the problems the average person deals with all over the world. Bunch of kids, tiny house, no money. They said we could relate. So I was amazed at how people in other countries attach to it. And I think that's why it doesn't date. You know, it was already in the 1800s. It's not like we have cool clothes from the 70s. We can't be dated. We were already old.
Right.
And then the other thing is, right, they love it, is people are freaking out now because we had an episode called Quarantine. We had an episode called Plague. We had episodes about all these things. They're terribly current. And people are calling me and saying, wait, you have an episode called Quarantine? I'm in quarantine now. What is happening? And I said, see, Little House covered every possible subject. So people love it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it was, and I don't want to say compare it to, but a little bit of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yes, which also has a cuckoo fan base. I am always stunned at how many people they're into Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. There's people who like the Waltons, and some of the Waltons people like Little House, but often they're sort of competitive with each other. But the Dr. Quinn Medicine people tend to also be Little House fans. We have quite a crossover there.
That's interesting. Wow. So now I want to get to your book, Confessions of a Prairie Bitch.
Yes.
Tell me about the book.
Well, so I've been doing a one-woman show that I started doing back in 2002 called, well, Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, where I've been doing stand-up for years, but I started doing this one-woman show where I told real stories from my life. And it really caught on. People really loved it. So I met a literary agent, and he said, is there a book to go with this show? And I said, you know, there could be. So we started talking, and I wound up writing this book, Confession of Prairie, and it is my autobiography, and it covers everything. It covers my life before the show, during the show, and after the show. So there's marvelous stories, of course, from the making of and everything. But then there's also adjusting to life as an ex-child star after the show. And just about everything. And I threw in everything in the kitchen sink, I think, I can safely say. And people just went wild. And now I have the audio book of it, and they're all buying that now. So it's craziness.
Oh, that's really cool. You said you do stand-up comedy, too?
I've been doing stand-up since 1977, and I started doing my one-woman show Yeah, Comedy Store, The Laugh Factory, The Improv, all over the United States and Canada. And then in 2002, I started the one-woman show where I did all real stories from my life, Confessions of Prairie Bitch, and it became a multimedia extravaganza with video and everything. And then I wound up taking it to France and having a French version where I toured France for many years. In fact, as I said, I'm supposed to be there now. I had bookings for September, but we had to cancel those, obviously, for safety. And I'm supposed to go to Ireland in October. Luckily, the Women's Inspire Conference in Ireland said, well, we'll do it online. So I'm going to speak. I'm going to put a podium in my living room and do it that way.
Okay. Oh, that's great. I think it was, I missed the thing. I think you had something on the 24th.
I did. What happened is because my comedy shows all got canceled, but the people who were booking me said, hey, you know, we're looking at doing it online. There's a program called stageit.com, and we've got a lot of people performing that way. So I said, okay, so we did a live stream pay-per-view of my show, Confessions of a Prairie Terror, we call it, for this one. And I just did it on the 24th. I have another show on October 29th, Nellie's Scary Prairie, and a Christmas version in December called Nellie's Nasty Noel. And then I get this, so then I get a phone call that Rich Little, yes, the Rich Little, well, he was doing four nights a week at the Tropicana, but he can't now. And he said, I heard Allison Arngrim's doing an online show. I want to know how this. Next thing I know, I'm talking to Rich Little and his tech team, and on October 15th, Rich Little will be doing
Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hang on. I don't know my phone's doing. No, I can hear you. Yes, there you are. Would you say
okay.
Now?
Yeah, okay. No, it's like stopped a second of hearing you.
Rich Little on October 15th, and it's his first time doing an internet show. So a lot of young people who've never been able to go see Rich Little live will finally, you know, get to see him in person.
So when you're doing, Rich Little, I remember him too. By the way, I'm quite older than you, but that's okay.
Are you?
It shows you how long
say,
I've been watching.
But you know how old I am, right? You know how old I am.
Well, didn't you say you're in your 40s?
I'm 58. I'll be 59 in January.
Oh, okay.
Little House
well,
on the Prairie was premiered. We had our 45th anniversary.
I'm still
old. Last year.
Yeah. But and by the way, I also I don't know if they've told you I'm a background is of a, being a comedian and singer and actress.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yes, but stand up comedy wasn't my thing as much as character comedy.
So.
Very hard to do, very difficult to do on the radio, I must say, when you can't
see
my face.
Well, you can imagine what we're trying to do online with this whole thing where now everybody's seeing everything on the internet. For me, and that's one of the reasons why Rich Little wanted me to come help, is because I've now done it several times. And for performers who are now shifting their shows to online venues, it's really a trip. But we are managing to do it. I'm very lucky because my husband will run camera, and he knows where all the jokes are. He laughs in all the right places every time. Seeing my show 100 times, he laughs in all the right places. I love it.
Oh, that's good to know. So, like, if when I tune in, I can't, it's not a back and forth, like, you know, like on Zoom, right?
No, but you can comment, and we will see your comments and take them as well. And what I've been doing in my stand-up show, because I normally do a question-and-answer segment, is I have people ask their questions on Facebook, and then I have them on little index cards like I would at the nightclub, and we're able to do that.
Oh, that's great. When in terms of the when you were starting to do your stand-up comedy, was it all based on your of Little House, or did you have other subjects that you talked about?
Initially, I didn't do a lot. I thought, oh, I'll talk about things not about Little House, and I talked about normal stand-up things, growing up, dating, etc. But, you know, it always kept coming around to Little House. People kept saying, but what about Little House? And when I finally did the one on the show where I said, yes, yes, I was Nellie Olson. Yes, I know you all hate me. I don't care. And started really, yes, I know you all call me a bitch when I'm not around. When I really started addressing that, right? Well, that really worked. That really hit a nerve. And I talk about, you know, being a crazy ex-child star. That really seemed to be the ticket. And so now, instead of trying to avoid Little House, I just go with it. And boy, oh boy, people just eat it up, I tell you. Yeah, you know, I've been reading the Little House books on Facebook Live every day since March.
That's really great. And can I ask you, did you grab what's known as the camp audience?
Extremely so, because, okay, no, listen, please, with the fabulous clothes, the bitchy diva attitude. Oh, yes, I have an enormous gay following, I'm pleased to say, and absolutely, I played P-Town and Agonquit, Maine, and a lot of the gay circuit. And they are diehard followers of Nellie Olson. Very pleased to report that, yes.
By the way, I played P-Town also.
Isn't P-Town great? Oh, my God, I love P-Town. Wait, did you go to the pizza
place? I know.
They have like the Greek pizza with the feta cheese and the spinach. It's like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, they had to cancel the big event with the regarding the Pilgrim Monument and the a replica of the Mayflower, too, sailing in to commemorate the 400th year or something like that, you know, because everybody attaches, you know, like Thanksgiving to the wrong place. Now they don't realize that Pilgrims landed in P-Town first, you know.
That's the real place, exactly.
So I thought what you get a kick out of. So what I do every year is I get somebody to go to a seafood market and have them part in the lobster. I mean, after all, that's what they ate.
My friend Ryan Landry, who does so many shows in P-Town and produces there, yeah, he was really bummed because they had Showgirls, a regular event, and all of his shows and his friend's shows, and of course, they couldn't do them. So he's coming up with stuff to do. They're coming up with outdoor shows. He's taking up painting. He's doing art gallery showings. They're just, you know, very, very creative, people trying to come up with ways to work around this.
Yeah, I get there's a woman named Joni Rapp, who's an entertainer, and she also forms things up there, and we're friends on Facebook, you know, and so like she kind of tells me what's going on, and then there's a singer up there who's been there for God knows how many years, and he tells me what's going on. He does his songs. He goes sits at the piano. And he sings, and it goes on Facebook. So that's one of the ways, you know, that people are doing their thing.
I got a friend. She used to play all the clubs and bars in L.A., and then she didn't know what to do, and I helped her. I helped get her lighting. She said, I need decent lighting. I said, I know how to get lighting. Here, you get this thing on Amazon. She's got a whole concert series now. Woman singing three nights a week. It's great.
Great. You know, yeah, that's you know, but it all really boils down to whether people are willing to sit at their computer to be entertained rather than go to the venue.
Right, and it's absolutely bananas. When this first started, you know, when this first started, Mark had done a Facebook Live once. I had never even heard of a Zoom call or any of this stuff, and now I am doing this every day. I'm on some platform, Zooming or Facebooking or StreamYard or Stage It or what have you. And it's just amazing. And I'm able now to connect with my fans and do shows. And it's just, I didn't think it was possible, but it is.
That's really great to hear. So you'll be around, you'll be entertaining for a long time.
I'm telling you. And then when we all
now I got to get a copy of the book, by the way.
I'll do both. Oh, you must. You'll love it. You'll love it. I'm now hoping that when we go back out and into the theaters, we'll be able to do both. We'll have our internet stuff and our live stuff, and it'll be fabulous.
That'll be absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you want to talk about your growing up and the upsets, or you want to leave that alone for another time, or what?
Well, I don't know how much time you got because it's a hell of a story. But, yeah, I mean, I talk about it in the book. Absolutely. I was abused as a kid. I was horribly shy. I got picked on by bullies. And that's what's so crazy is that I wound up playing Nellie, this terrifying bully. And, frankly, it was kind of great for me because I was so shy. But then once I was Nellie Olson, I would walk into a room and people would back up. They were all afraid of me.
That's funny, yeah. So, and in terms of just was the abuse coming from family members or?
Yes, sadly. And that's often the way it happens is, you know, it winds up being someone close to the kid. Always, it's always a relative. That's always the trouble spot. And unfortunately, was in fact, when I was in Little House, I was so relieved because it was such like a safe place. It was such wonderful people. And I always felt very safe and protected on the set of Little House. And so it was really a relief to get on the show, actually.
One of the questions that I was thinking about was the particular whole thing about with your marriage to Percival.
Yes. Beloved Percival.
That they set it up to have you marry someone Jewish. So that became a whole subject. Was this a decision made, let's say, by Michael Landon, or was this part of the thing in Laura Ingalls' books that this happened?
No, we don't. In Laura's books, she only carries on with Nellie till about her teenage years, so I don't think Laura even knew what happened to Nellie when she moved away. But and Nellie married a guy named Henry Curry and had three kids. But this is all Michael Landon. Michael Landon comes into makeup one morning. I'm sitting there and says, "Great news, you're getting married." Like, wait, what? And then he comes back and says, "Oh, it's wonderful. He's this little short guy, and he's Jewish, and he won't take anything off of anybody, and he tells Mrs. Olson to shut up. It's brilliant." And then he runs out of the room. This goes on for several minutes, and I'm thinking, what is he doing? I finally get out of makeup. I walk over, and there's Michael in his dressing room with a big yellow legal pad and a pencil. I said, "You're writing this episode right now, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm writing it right now." I said, "Don't we film this in like 2 weeks?" He said, "Oh, don't worry, it'll be ready." So he said, and he actually went on the Tonight Show, and he said this. He said, "I based this on my parents. My father was a short Jewish man. My mother was tall and blonde and very domineering. And I always wanted my dad to stand up to my mother. So this was sort of my fantasy fulfillment of this short Jewish guy married to this tall blonde woman who tells her, you know, what to do." And I thought, my God, he thinks I'm his mother. This is kind of bizarre.
But
it was all Michael Landon's crazy fantasy, I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. That was interesting because I thought it was interesting to see how they, in terms of the dialogue or whatever, in terms of how the reactions without, I mean, the prejudice, but not heavy. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Like, well, when I had the twins and his parents show up and face off with Mrs. Olson, that was incredible. I mean, I think a lot of people learned a lot, actually, about Jewish customs and food and religion and everything just from watching that episode, who would not normally have heard about these things.
As I'm talking to you on Yom Kippur, you know.
Right.
My friend, I changed it on my Facebook page. I said that I'm changing the episode and we'll be talking on Monday. And my friend gets back to me and says, "Monday is Yom Kippur." And I wrote back, "So I won't talk and eat at the same time."
No, right. It's
not
fine.
Not supposed
and
to be eating
way,
today either.
We can have a good fast. May you be written in the book of life and consider this Nellie Olson atoning for her sins for the year.
Yeah, right.
It's Nellie Olson is atoning for everything. This is Nellie Olson apologizing and atoning for her sins. It's totally a Yom Kippur theme.
Oh, okay. So, again, so now I have somebody send me, like, the link to so I could watch your next episode on the internet.
Oh yeah, the Facebook one where I'm going to be reading. Yeah, you can. Yeah, and they may have sent you the link where you can log in for Stage It to the next show. But yeah, because I read every day at 1:30. It's amazing.
1:30 your time.
Yeah, California time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, is there anything else you want to add? I got a half an hour of you, and I'm going, how am I going to do this?
There's so much. I got my own show. You know, Tuesday at 5 o'clock,
yeah.
I have the Allison Arndrum Show where I interview people. I've got my daily meetings at 1:30. I've got the Women's Conference in October. I've got October 15th, the Rich Little Show, and October 29th, my show. And then I got the movie, Twice Upon a Song, which I just finished filming. So it's quite a bit.
Well, that's great. And all this we can find on your Facebook page?
Yeah, on my Facebook page. You can also go to my website, bonnetheads.com.
Oh, okay. And which I have something, I guess. Oh, that's just your biography. Okay. I have a link to your biography that has.
Oh, good.
The things about you, which I'll put in when I, because at some point either next week or the week after, I'll be writing this up in the newspaper.
Okay, great.
About this.
And then also to mention then, because speaking of the abuse, and I'll protect.org, it's an organization, protect.org, National Association to Protect Children. I'm president of the board of directors, and we've been doing things to fight child abuse nationwide. So you might, check that out while you're looking around.
Okay. No, I'll make sure we get that into the. I'll get that into the article. I tend to be a little wordy in my article. It's like, oh wow, I'm only up to 1,000 words, and I still have more I want to write.
Right.
But that's how it goes. So, and by the way, do you sing too?
I wish. I do not. That would be great. I know my friends are like, you should sing. When I do theater, I've done a couple plays that weren't really, musicals, but then I wound up getting roped into singing. And but like I said, no, I really can't sing. Well, can you sing this one chorus here? I'm like, okay, if you make me do that, okay. But generally I don't sing.
Oh, okay. So in other words, anytime singing, you manage to just be on key for what you need to do.
Right, I can make it through a verse.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. they should come up with a Nellie song.
Right. I did do. What did I say? Last year I did that marvelous show, Always Patsy Cline. And it's like two one-woman shows together. You have the woman who's playing Patsy Cline, and the woman who's playing her friend Louise, who's kind of nuts. And so the woman playing Patsy Cline, of course, she sang like 27 songs in this thing with costume changes. And I played the friend Louise. I said, oh, great, Louise doesn't sing. And they said, oh, no, there's a scene where she's singing in the kitchen, and you join in with her. And I said, this has got me doing 3 songs. I can't sing all this. They said, she does the heavy lifting. You just, like, join in on the chorus. And if you're bad, it doesn't matter because the character can't sing. So I
That's
can
good.
Sing if I'm playing someone who doesn't sing very well.
Then you get away with it.
Character sing very well? No, she's kind of terrible. Okay, I can do it then.
That's good. By the way, I also noticed another thing on this show. This shows you how much I like. Observe. There's always the Little House theme song that runs through at different times. There's also a separate Mary song. Have you noticed?
Right? You say on Little House, there's the theme, and then each character sort of has their theme?
Well, no, each character, Mary in particular, whenever she's doing something that they concentrate on her, you hear the same little background tune of
Interesting. I think they
and
do.
It
I
goes,
think everybody sort of has like their little here they come theme music, you know.
And the thing it goes, and then now you'll notice it because it always is da 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 da. All the time, it's like I could be if I'm not watching it on TV and I hear it, I go, oh, Mary must be on.
That's hilarious. I know there's a theme they used in the Music Box episode that the Music Box played, except they used it like 6-7 times. And diehard fans are like, it's the Music Box episode theme again.
Well, I'll probably watch it tomorrow. And sometimes I'm watching it because I'm going through stuff and going, there's nothing on I really want to watch. I don't really want to watch something on the Hulu or Netflix. I'll put on Little House on the Prairie.
And see
if there's a possibility if there's an episode that I haven't seen.
Right. And I know there's people who say, you know, I'm just flipping channels. I don't want to watch the news. I'm having a bad day. I want that comfort television. I want that. Comfort food TV, man.
It doesn't matter. Comfort TV. Even if it's something that's a horrible thing that happens to somebody,
the house is burning down. It's familiar, right?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, so the episode, which I guess was supposed to be, I guess like the last kind of the last episode, was they all. Burn down, they all blow up the town.
They blew up the town, right, yes. That's correct.
They didn't have you come in and be part of it?
I'm surprised they didn't. You know, you're right, because they had me back, you know, for that one episode in season 9. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't just say, well, why don't you come back and help us blow up the town? But they didn't. But, you know, a lot of the people I know who were in that episode said, I can't even watch it. They can't hardly bring themselves to watch it because they say it's just too upsetting, you know. It was our whole childhood and our memories and everything. So it's
sometimes
hard for the
actors
to do it. You know?
Yeah. But the other person I'm surprised that didn't go was the one who played your mother.
That's right. Now I remember because this was sort of like an add-on TV movie. They'd finished the 9 years, and then they kind of. That's why when you buy the DVD, you get 10 because they had all the like extra movies. So they added this on, and they did call Catherine, but you know she was in India. She was very, very into the Vedanta temple ashram thing and the a Hindu philosophy, and she went on pilgrimages to India all the time. And when they called her, she said, no, I can't go. I'm in India. They said, oh, well, all right, have a good time, and went on and did it without her.
That's interesting. The comment they said she was sick and in the hospital or something like that.
Right, in Napastoria. Yeah, Nell, they made it sound like she'd gone to the sanitarium, like Nell's had finally had her put away, is what they made it sound like. He said, yeah, she's in the hospital having a rest, you know?
Yeah.
No, she was in India having a high old time.
You just never know what the truth is.
Right? Yeah, Mrs. Olson bathing in the Ganges and everything.
Oh, God. Well... This has been really cool speaking with you. You know that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I mean, it's
I got my 1:30 reading. I got to get on the sticker.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I got to get back to work.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for joining me on my radio show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'll I'll try to follow you, and I'll get that article out there too.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Have a great day and stay safe.
You too. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. So we, that was a pretty nice interview. Yeah. And so let's see. Well, I don't have much time anyway, so I'm going to end the radio show. Oh, I'm going to end the radio show. Now I just have to find where my thing is on the mute. Okay. Okay. Well, everybody, have a great day. Yes, tomorrow is the debate. Okay. I'm going to watch that. And for those of you observing, because obviously I'm not, have an easy Yom Kippur. And I know there's some people out there that really need to atone. Certain. Anyway. Okay. Well, goodbye, everybody.